Actually, if you would, go ahead and take your Bibles and go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And if you found your place there, and if you're able to stand in reverence of the Word of God, we'll ask you to stand for reading. If not, please know it does not offend us in any way. But we're going to be reading here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 1. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which ye are saved. If ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, He was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all He was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time." Notice these next three verses, church. "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." Verse number 10 says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe." Lord, we love You. Thank You, Lord, for what You've already done today. Thank You for the time of Sunday school. Thank You for the songs that's been sung. Thank You for the fellowship. Thank You, Lord, for all those that are able to be here today. Thank You for those able to tune in via live stream. Father, we ask for the next few moments that You would clear our hearts and our minds to only focus on Your Word and what You have in store for us today. God, we realize that it's been a very eventful week for many. But Lord, I just pray that You just remove any distractions and help us to just to focus on the message at hand. Lord, I pray that if there's one here today that needs strengthened and encouraged, I pray that You'd help them. Lord, I pray if there be one here today that's never come to a saving knowledge of You, Lord, that they would receive the goodness of Your grace today, salvation. And Father, we'll give You the praise and glory for all that's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Imagine that you are $500,000 in debt. Someone comes to you and writes out a check for $500,000 saying, "This is all for you to cancel your debt. You don't have to do anything but reach out and take it, and it's yours." So you would take the money and pay off your debt. You are now debt-free, and you are totally in the clear. What do you have to boast about? Can you go around bragging that you had the power, the skill, the brains to reach out and take that check? Not really. Can you talk about what a favor you did for taking all that trouble or taking that money off someone's hands? Would that be, "Wow, what a favor I did them"? Does that make any sense? Not really. You received grace and nothing more, friend. Nothing less. You were impoverished. You received the richness from another person. The fact that you are now debt-free is 100% due to your benefactor, 0% due to you. Who then deserves the praise and glory for your salvation? Clearly not us. Clearly not you. you have received riches beyond the from the resources of God, His grace made it possible. Galatians 6:14 says, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. I want you to understand that the greatest gift that you will ever receive is the grace of God. The first occasion that we find grace mentioned in the Bible was in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, where the Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It is important to understand that in that moment, in that time, the world had become very wicked. Oftentimes we look around and we don't understand the wickedness that we're seeing around us. We touched on that some this morning in Sunday school, and the wicked thing that Joseph's brothers had done. And let me just briefly describe that to you for just a moment. Essentially what his brothers did was conspire against Joseph and came up with a plan to not only make their father believe that his youngest son Joseph was dead, but the plan was so wicked in that they literally took his coat of many colors, as many of you are familiar with, killed a goat and soaked it in the blood and threw it in the pit to make his father believe that his youngest son was dead. What a wicked thing that happened. Scripturally speaking, we know that that event affected Jacob for the rest of his life. We ask that question, why would people do such a wicked thing? But yet, we also pointed out in Matthew chapter 24, where Jesus said in verse number 6, these things must come to pass. We don't understand all the wickedness around us today, church. But what we do see in the Scriptures today, and it's also hard to understand, is that grace is nothing to do with ourselves, but has everything to do with who God is and what God did. We're going to look at today and really focus on the theme, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. So it's like when Noah found grace, at that time there was wickedness, and God had decided to destroy the world, but by the grace of God, God spared Noah. If you're here today and you're saved, I want you to know that it's by the grace of God. If you're here today and God has held your life together, even in times where it seems like it's falling apart, dear friend, I want you to know that it's by the grace of God that He has allowed that to happen. As we read in our text here, He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me. The Apostle Paul starts off the chapter by giving us a very important message. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Do you realize today, church, that there is nothing more important that we can declare to this community as a church, as our mission, as our goal? There's nothing more important that we can declare than the gospel. Sometimes we overcomplicate what the gospel is, and let me just remind you that the gospel is essentially the good news. Well, you ask the question, what is the good news? Paul describes it, it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And the good news is that Jesus died for me and you, and that by the grace of God, He offers the free gift of salvation. That's the good news. Paul says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Now, that's the most important message that we can give. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not other important things that we can say. That doesn't mean that there's not other important things that we can do. It just means that the most important thing that we can do and the most important thing that we can share is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul did not get up here and say, well, the brethren, I declare unto you that you need to be baptized. Now that doesn't mean that baptism is not important. What it does mean is that the gospel is most important. And friends, we have to be careful because you say, well, I thought we were talking about the grace. You understand There is no gospel without grace. There is no gospel message without the grace of God. And that's what Paul starts off this chapter leading into verse 11, or verses 9, 10, and 11, which we're focusing on today. He starts off by declaring the gospel message. Now, if we know that it's the most important message to give, then sometimes I wonder, why is it that we portray or give another message? You know, one thing that I want to remind you of, church, is that, again, most of the people that come to the house of God were personally invited by someone who already attends that particular assembly. And sometimes we get caught up, well, you know, we do this good, but we got problems in this area. Can I just remind you, friend, that if we're always focusing on what's wrong and not what's right, why would you expect somebody to want to come and hear the message that is preached? Amen? For the record, there's not going to be a perfect church till we all go to that heavenly church. When we're all gathered around the throne of God, that's going to be the only perfect assembly. But as long as this church is made up of infallible, sinful men and women, it's not going to be a perfect place. Do we have things we need to improve on? Absolutely we do. But what I'm trying to tell you, friend, if there's one thing that we must do well, and that is we must declare the gospel well to this community here in Florence and Pinal County and as far as you want to go. We were talking this morning and mentioned the time of prayer for those that in the Superior area and that part of the county or that part of the area where those fires, last that I heard, it's over 7,000 acres being torched. Now, what wouldn't you say, church, if somebody's house was in the line of fire, like literally in the line of fire, wouldn't you think that it's important to go to them and say, hey, it's time to evacuate. There's a fire. There's a great danger that's coming your way. It's time to... Well, wouldn't that be the most humane thing that we can do if you knew that danger is coming to their family, to go and knock on their door and say, you need to get out of here because there's danger coming to your family? Houses can be replaced. Things can be replaced. I mean, I work in the insurance industry, and that's part of what I do to make sure that structures can be replaced and personal contents can be replaced, but you can't replace your family. So you would go to them and say, look, it's time to leave your house. It's time to leave your possessions. It's time to leave everything behind. Get your family and go. Don't you realize, church? Don't you realize how serious it is that that's exactly what's happening to people dying without Christ? Don't you realize that there's a fire lurking up ahead? It's called the lake of fire. And one day, death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. Don't you realize that there's danger up ahead to them and their family coming? And yet often we neglect our scriptural Christian duty to proclaim and declare and give them the gospel. He said, well, I thought that's the pastor's job. It is the pastor's job. But it's also every Christian's job. Every Christian's duty's job to do our part to tell people that are in the line of fire that, hey, if you die without Jesus, you'll spend eternity in the lake of fire. That's our duty. That's our responsibility. Why would we want to, say, sit back somewhere and thank God for the grace of God and praise God for what He's done for us and praise God that He spared us from the flames and yet not care enough about our neighbors and our family and our loved ones to warn them of the danger that's coming? Paul said, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye have received and wherein ye stand. He goes on to say, by which also ye are saved. Remember, there's no gospel without grace. There's no salvation without the grace of God. As we get down in our study today, or message for today, I want you to notice some things about Paul's attitude about grace. First of all, I want to share some thoughts that scripturally speaking, one of the things that I find interesting is that really all the texts that the scriptures that I'm going to share today were actually through the inspiration, through the power of the Holy Ghost, pinned down through the Apostle Paul as the author of those books. I believe that he authored the 13 epistles, and most theologians would say, including the book of Hebrews. But yet he says in verse number 9, "For I am the least of the apostles." Even though he wrote the majority of the New Testament, if you look at it by book, there's 66 books in the Bible, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New, and 14 of them were written by the Apostle Paul. He wrote, through the leadership of the Holy Spirit, over half of the New Testament. And yet he said, "I am the least of the apostles." Why would he make such a statement? Because he understood what the grace of God was. He realized that it is not I. It is not me. It is not what I have done. But it's only by the grace of God. If you look in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Familiar passage. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourselves, it is the," what does it say, church? "The gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." The first reminder from the scriptures that Paul wrote that we see is that, number one, we are saved by grace. We are saved by grace. Dear friend, you did not do anything to earn it. You cannot buy it. You cannot purchase it. You can't get educated unto it. You can't take a course. You don't fill out an application, thank God, and hope that you're approved, because I would have got denied, friend. If I would have filled out an application for salvation, church, I would have got denied. I mean, there would have been no question. There would have been no reason to review the application. They would have stamped denied on it and returned it. I'm glad that I didn't have to apply. I'm glad that I didn't have to go through a process. I'm glad that there was no physical act or work or deed that I had to do to obtain salvation. All I did is, as the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And all I did was call on Jesus one day. But by the grace of God, I'm saved because of what Jesus did, not because of anything that I did. Salvation was there. It was offered to me. I heard the message. All I had to do was accept it. All I had to do was receive it. And here we are talking about the Apostle Paul, arguably the best apostle from our perspective, arguably the best Christian in that he reached so many people. Arguably the best church planter that we find in the scriptures is that he went around planting churches. Arguably the best missionary. And he says, "I'm the least that there is. I'm the lowest of the low." Later on in the scripture he says, "I'm the chiefest of sinners." Not only did he say, "I'm the least of the apostles," but he said, "If there was ever a good sinner, I'm the best there ever was." Right. Not in a good way. But yet, none of that affected his motive, his service to the Lord, because he understood that it was only by the grace of God. So number one today, church, we are saved by grace. Number two, we are sure by grace. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 2, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 2, "By whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand." Wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. When I say we are sure by grace, for something to be sure, it means certain. Or to have confidence in, or something that's permanent. Aren't you glad that we're sure in our salvation? Aren't you glad that our salvation is permanent? Church, it's very important to understand that not only did you not do something to earn your salvation, but you can't do nothing to keep your salvation. Otherwise, it's still works-based. Right. Right. Do you understand that, friend? Right. If you could do something to earn it and get it, then it's based on works. If you had to do something to keep it, then it's based on works. Because you and I both would have still failed a long time ago. I'm glad that it's not based on just up until the point, okay, God said, by the grace of God, I'll save you, but now you got to work to keep it. I would have lost it a long time ago. So we are sure by grace. The third thing I want to mention is we're, first of all, we're saved by grace, we're sure by grace, but thirdly, this morning, we are secure by grace. We are secure by grace. In Romans 3:24, it says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We are justified freely by His grace. Don't you realize that your salvation is secure only by the grace of God? It says justified freely by His grace. If you were to get in trouble with the law, generally what happens is that you're going to go through the court process, and I'm not going to explain it all. I'm going to jump real quick, but you're going to go through the court process. You're going to be arraigned. You're going to be sentenced. Maybe there's a trial. Maybe there's not. But eventually there's going to come a ruling, and most likely you'll be found guilty if you admit to the crime, or there's evidence against you that shows you were guilty of the crime. And then if you're convicted of being guilty, then there's a sentencing. That sentencing is our punishment. Maybe the punishment is so many years in prison. Maybe the punishment is a fine. Maybe the punishment is community service, or a combination of all three. Nevertheless, you're not really justified through the law until that debt is paid or till your time is served. But you see, friend, we were all found guilty. So what do you mean, Pastor? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's your guilt. The Bible teaches us there's none that doeth good, no, not one, outside of the grace of God. So we are all found guilty. That word sin is also an archer's term, in that it means to fall short. And everyone here has fell short. Amen. We have all fell into sin, and we continue to sin. In fact, if you're saved, there's really no difference. You're a sinner saved by grace concerning your sinful nature. Your sinful nature did not go away. Now, I do hope and pray that as you continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you don't stop sinning, but you should sin less. That's another message for another day. But what I'm trying to tell you is that the only reason you're justified today is not because you paid a debt. It's not because you paid a fine. It's not because you did community service. You're justified freely by grace. You're secure. We're saved by grace, sure by grace, secure by grace. But number four this morning, I'm glad today that I'm strengthened by grace. I'm strengthened by grace. Look what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. That song that my wife sang, how does that part end, babe? The very end part of that is my daily sufficient grace. My daily sufficient grace. Paul said, my grace is sufficient. Now understand, this was God's response to the Apostle Paul. What we're reading here was Paul's answer to prayer. Let me remind you that the Bible says that he besought the Lord three times over that thorn in the flesh. Now, I don't know exactly what that thorn in the flesh is. Theologians have ideas and speculation that it was some kind of physical ailment. Maybe it was a spiritual ailment. Maybe it was a mental ailment. We know that Paul had a battle of the mind. We don't know exactly what it is. I will tell you, it's probably good that we don't know. Because what we tend to do, we say, well, my thorn was bigger than Paul's, so he didn't have to deal with what I dealt with. Right? What we tend to say, well, you know, you haven't gone through what I've gone through. Just be careful of that, friend, because that's a dangerous place to be. Because when you start getting to the place where you say, well, you haven't gone through what I've gone through, essentially what you're saying is that you're putting up a wall and you're not allowing anybody to help you, because in your mind, since they didn't go through what you went through, they can't help you. be careful. Paul said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, he said, and God, who is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Friend, I'm here to tell you today that you're strengthened by the grace of God. God's grace is sufficient for thee. Maybe you're here today, friend, and you're battling something. You're dealing with something. You don't quite know how to deal with it. You don't quite know where you're going to get answers. You don't kind of know where you're going to get help. And you don't feel like nobody can understand. You don't feel like nobody can relate. And again, as I caution, be careful about that. But you feel hopeless. You feel depressed. I want you to know that God's grace is sufficient for you, friend. Paul took that place of weakness. Paul took those infirmities. And he said, that's what I'm going to glory in. Because when I get to that place, I realize that I'm literally helpless without Christ. And I have no choice but to depend on Him. And that's why God's grace is sufficient for you. And that's why the grace of God will strengthen you in the time of need. We're saved by grace, sure by grace, secure by grace, strengthened by grace, and thank God we're supplied by grace. We are supplied by grace. In Hebrews 4 and 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. It says over in Philippians 4:19 that God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. According to His riches in glory. Hey, I want to tell you today, friend, that you are supplied by grace. We mentioned just a second ago about being strengthened by grace. How about when you're trying to move forward on an empty tank? You ever drove a car and ran out of gas? Yeah, we've done it. We've been there. Some of you said, preacher, I try to do that, schedule that at least once a month. Amen. I do it all the time. I'm glad the Bible says that we can come boldly into the throne of grace. You know one thing I'm thankful for, friend? Now, you got a need. I'm happy to pray for you as your preacher, as your pastor. I'll be honored that you shared that request with me to go to the throne of grace on your behalf. But you actually don't have to go through me. I'm not your priest. I'm not your father. In fact, scripturally speaking, other than your physical father, you're not supposed to refer to anybody as your father except the heavenly father. Right? I had a young man. He didn't know. I wasn't upset with him. I went to make a pastoral visit, and he said, thank you, Father. I said, just call me your brother or pastor. You know, I didn't want to offend him, and he meant well, but he said, thank you, Father. You know, I don't know. But you know, you don't have to go through me. There's, scripturally speaking, there's a doctrine called the priesthood of believers, and that you go yourself boldly unto the throne of grace. I also don't atone for your sin. And it's probably good, because I can't even atone for mine. Much less yours. Right? But you see, we are supplied by grace, and that we can come. It's almost like the throne of grace is like this well that never runs dry. And you're running low, a little bit low on grace, and you're running a little low on things, and you can just come right in. Anytime you want, and just dip right into that grace. Right. And dip right into that well of everlasting water of what Jesus described. And boy, just have your fill. Right. And just take as much with you as you can carry. That's how the grace of God works. We're supplied by grace. Next thing I want to mention. Now don't misunderstand me when I say this. But I'm somebody by grace. I didn't say I was somebody. I said I am some. Paul said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. He's saying, I am something. But it's not because of me, it's because of grace. The only reason I matter is because of the grace of God. Furthermore, in Ephesians chapter 3, in verses 7 through 8, wherefore I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power unto me, whom am less and the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. The only reason you matter today, friend, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying you don't matter to me. I'm not saying you don't matter to your family. I'm saying the only reason you matter today is by the grace of God. It's because of the grace of God. Paul said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. I mean, in the very next verse, in that same verse, and he said, and His grace was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. In other words, he was essentially saying, you know, I mentioned all these apostles, I mentioned all these saints of God, and I worked harder than all of them, not because of me, but because of the grace of God. In other words, I was a special case. The grace of God worked even more in my life. The grace of God worked even more in my life than it did with most others. That's how I feel about me, church. I don't understand what God would want to use me. I don't understand why God would call me to be, as He said in Ephesians, a minister. But it's only by the gift of the grace of God. So there's a reminder there that we are somebody by grace. We're saved by grace, sure by grace, secure by grace, strengthened by grace, supplied by grace, somebody by grace. I got two more quick thoughts. I am satisfied by grace. Hey friend, can I remind you, He's more than enough. He's more than enough. In Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding, what does that word exceeding means? Exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. When I think about that word exceeding, that means above and beyond. Have you ever been to a restaurant and you felt like that waitress went above and beyond to serve you? He or she kept your cup full. That's a big thing with me, dear friend. If you let me get down where the little slurping goes down in my cup, you've let me down. Smile a little bit today, amen. But what I'm saying is that you know, you've all had that experience, and I realize sometimes they're so busy, they got so many people, especially now, they can't hardly get anybody to show up to work. I get that. But when you do get an experience, and boy, they won't let your cup get half empty. You get down about halfway, they're topping that thing off. Well, that's good. Well, they don't let my coffee get cold. I mean, they top that thing right off. Warm it up. Would you like a warm up? Well, glory to God, yes, I want to warm up. Amen. I mean, they bring your food out. It's exactly how you ordered it. It's cooked exactly how you wanted it. And you just have a great experience. Your general thoughts are, man, that server really went above and beyond what I expected he or her to do, right? That's just a thought on the exceeding riches of God's grace. He has gone above and beyond of anything that you and I could have even expected Him to do. And then some. We are saved by grace, sure by grace, secure by grace, strengthened by grace, supplied by grace, somebody by grace, satisfied by grace. And the last thing I want to mention, we are surprised by grace. Surprised by grace. Go back to verses 8 through 10. 1 Corinthians. And last of all, He was seen of me also as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, and not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, and yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. You know what I also believe the message that Paul is portraying here? That he's surprised that God wants to use him even at all. I want to tell you, church, that I've been at that place that said, Lord, I'm not worthy to preach. And in fact, I got to a place where I said, God, in fact, I am so unworthy that I'm just not going to do it anymore. Lord, by actions that I've taken, I just shouldn't be preaching anymore. You know what the Holy Spirit of God reminded me of? You were never worthy from the beginning. I never was worthy from the start. I'm still not worthy, and I never will be. Paul said it's only by the grace of God. I believe in the language. If you speak, if you can really see how Paul is speaking, you would say that Paul is also emphasizing that I'm actually surprised that God would use me. Why? Because I persecuted the church. It's not like I just persecuted people. He persecuted the church. The Bible literally says that he wreaked havoc to the church. I just read yesterday in Acts, in some of my personal reading in Acts chapter 8 and Acts chapter 9, where he was putting Christians to death. He was there that approved the first martyr in the scripture, Stephen, being stoned to death. Paul was behind it. Paul was busy getting letters, which I believe he's referring to as warrants, to be able to put Christians in jail for preaching and teaching the gospel message. And yet God used him in arguably more ways in the New Testament than anybody else that we can find in the Scripture. Paul says, I can't believe it. I don't understand it. I'm completely unworthy, but it's only by the grace of God. I asked my wife if she'll come to the piano. Elizabeth Keckley was a slave in Missouri before the Civil War. Her greatest desire was to purchase freedom for herself and her son. Her owner agreed that if she could raise $1,200, she could gain her freedom. Keckley worked as a seamstress and came up with a plan to go to New York City to work there to raise her money, but her owner feared that she would not return. Instead, some of her wealthy clients in St. Louis contributed the money that she needed. And Elizabeth Keckley paid the price of her freedom as well as her son's. She moved to Washington, D.C., where she counted Mary Lincoln among her dressmaking clients. Without the help of someone else, Keckley would have never been able to purchase her freedom. All of us were enslaved in sin with no hope of ever gaining freedom. In mercy and compassion, Jesus gave his life for us, purchasing our salvation by shedding his blood on the cross. We are now free from sin, but that freedom doesn't mean that we do whatever we want. Instead, we are to live how Jesus wants us to live. There was no way that she could purchase her freedom without some help. Somebody had to help her. Friend, there is no possible way, spiritually, scripturally speaking, that you can purchase your freedom on your own. Somebody had to help you. And that somebody was Jesus. That somebody, his name is Jesus. And the scripture says, wherefore God hath given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's all stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. Friends, we ought to get on our face before God and say, thank you, Lord, for your sufficient grace. It's only by the grace of God that I am what I am. It's only by the grace of God that I have what I have. If there's been any good in my life, it's only by the grace of God. Lord, I'm nothing without your goodness and without your grace. The altar's open. Won't you come today? With every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around for just a moment. Listen, this is private time with the Lord. That's why we call it an invitation. We are literally inviting you to get on your face before the Lord, whether it be there or come to the altar, however the Lord leads you. We're inviting you to go to God and just thank God for His grace today. Maybe you're here today, you've never come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Friend, my heart hurts for you this morning. I can't fathom the thought that you came to service here at Florence Baptist Church. You never received Jesus as your personal Savior and you left here and died without Christ. How heartbreaking that would be. How heartbreaking it would be to report that story. Friend, you can get it settled today if you're here today. You don't know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die. Won't you come today? Won't you come today and receive Christ as your personal Savior? Say, preacher, I'm not worthy. I agree. Neither was I. And I'm still not. But you see, the Scripture says, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus loves you so much that He died on the cross for you and I. Won't you come today? Won't you come today? Won't you come? All right, church. Thank you so much for being in the house of God today. Isn't God good, friend? Maybe you'll leave here today and you'll just want to tell somebody about the grace of God, about the goodness of God. Because we're not worthy, friend. We're not worthy. Thank God for His grace. I want to encourage you, Brother Kevin, would you go ahead and hop back there to the back? Don't let him out, brother. Don't you let him out. I put him back there, brother. I put him back there. Brother Kevin, I mean, he'll chase you down. No. We just need your help, church. I know we've had fun with that. We're asking for your help. Please take some of these. Hand them out. Everybody knows somebody. Find somebody. Let's kick up rocks. Let's find them. Yes, ma'am. Sorry? I'm not a chicken. Miss Nancy called me a chicken. No, I'm just kidding. I knew what she meant. Brother Will, where can we find chicken? Okay. So will you do me a favor, Brother Will? Why don't you go back there and hand up? He's going to give him VBS and you're going to hand him chicken. What kind of church can you go and you have a chance to give out, invite somebody to church, and take some chicken with you? Come on now. Come on. So, all right, let's have a word of prayer and be dismissed today. Roger, why don't you dismiss us in a word of prayer, please? You can come up if you want to. Yeah, come on.
Bow your heads and your hearts. Father God, we just come before you right now, Lord, to thank you for this day, this time, this hour. We thank you for the powerful message that the servant that you sent us, Lord, he let you speak through him. He let your spirit do the talking. And we just thank you so much, Lord. We just ask you to bless us as we go our separate ways. Bring us back tonight according to your will and your perfect will, Lord. Just ask you to bring us back on Wednesday as well, Lord, and we'll give you all the honor and glory and thanks. And we praise you in your Son's mighty and precious name. Amen.